The World This Week, Politics.
Israel launched a ground invasion of southern Lebanon, initially sending small numbers of troops over the border, but then preparing to deploy additional forces. They were soon engaged in heavy fighting with Hezbollah, Iran's biggest proxy militia in the region, in which Israeli troops were killed. More than 1,000 Lebanese combatants and civilians have been killed and over 1 million displaced. Iran lashed out with a direct attack on Israel, firing around 200 ballistic missiles. A man was killed in the West Bank when a missile fragment fell on him. No other deaths were reported. Benjamin Netanyahu, Israel's prime minister, said Iran would pay a heavy price. Iran's strike came in the aftermath of Israel's assassination of Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah in Lebanon, since 1992, in airstrikes on southern Beirut that targeted the group's headquarters. Israel has now killed most of Hezbollah's military leadership in the past 2 weeks and destroyed perhaps half of its 120,000 or more rockets and missiles. Two Palestinian gunmen killed 7 people in a shooting and knife attack in Tel Aviv. The two terrorists were shot and neutralized by a security officer and nearby civilians, according to the police. Kenya's parliament started proceedings to impeach Rigathi Gachagua, the country's deputy president, over his alleged role in anti-government protests in June. Dozens of people were killed in the protests, which nearly unseated the government. At least 45 people died and more than 100 were missing after smugglers forced migrants off 2 boats travelling from Yemen to Djibouti. The incident makes 2024 the deadliest year on record for migrant sea crossings between the Horn of Africa and Yemen. Most recently, 196 people had drowned while trying to cross in June. The hard-right Freedom Party, or FPO, won the most votes in Austria's general election, the first time it has claimed victory. Its chances of forming a government are slim. Karl Niehammer, the country's incumbent chancellor, whose Conservative People's Party, or OVP, came second, may try to hammer together a coalition of Social Democrats, Liberals and Greens. The OVP and the FPO have been coalition partners before. The last one ended in 2019. But Mr. Niehammer has ruled out the inclusion of Herbert Kickl, the FPO's leader, in any new alliance. Mark Rutte took over from Jens Stoltenberg as NATO's Secretary General. In his first speech, Mr. Rutte reiterated the alliance's commitment to Ukraine, warning that the cost to the West would be much higher if Russia won the war. Meanwhile, 9 people were killed in Russian drone attacks on a hospital in Sumy in northeast Ukraine. 6 people were killed in Russian shelling on Kherson, which lies close to the front line. And Vuhledar fell to Russian troops. The town had managed to withstand the invaders for 2 years. Britain's last remaining coal-fired power station officially shut down, bringing an end to 142 years of coal-fired electricity generation in the country. The world's first coal power station was built in London in 1882 by Thomas Edison. Plans to phase out coal were announced in 2015, when about a quarter of Britain's electricity was generated by the fossil fuel. Britain's greenhouse gas emissions have fallen by more than half since 1990. Ishiba Shigeru became Japan's new prime minister, following a contest in the Liberal Democratic Party to replace Kishida Fumio. Mr. Ishiba named his cabinet, but also called a snap general election for October 27th. The new finance minister is Kato Katsunobu, who was a health minister under Abe Shinzo and is a firm believer in Abenomics. He has called for a stimulus package that boosts wages and capital spending. Responding to the latest bout of saber-rattling from North Korea, South Korea displayed its Hyunmoo 5 ballistic missile at a military parade for the first time. The powerful weapon has been developed as a bunker buster. Yoon Suk-yeol, South Korea's president, warned the North that if it attacked, that day will be the end of the North Korean regime. At least 224 people died in flooding and landslides in Nepal. Kathmandu, the capital, registered the highest daily rainfall for decades. Claudia Sheinbaum was sworn in as Mexico's president, the first woman to hold the job. Ms. Sheinbaum is from the same left-wing party as her predecessor, Andrés Manuel López Obrador. In a speech, she sought to reassure investors that their investments in Mexico would be safe following judicial reforms that have been criticized for undermining the rule of law. She reiterated that the central bank would remain independent. Argentina's statistics agency recorded a big jump in poverty, with 53% of Argentines living under the poverty line in the first 6 months of this year, compared with 42% in the previous 6 months. Javier Milei, the president, has cut subsidies for transport and fuel as part of his drive to normalize the economy. A spokesman blamed the rise in poverty on the disastrous situation that the government inherited from left-wing administrations. In Canada, Justin Trudeau survived a vote of no confidence in Parliament, the second in under a week. After two stinging by-election defeats, the Prime Minister is facing calls to hold an early general election, especially from the opposition Conservatives, who are ahead in the polls. The Bloc Québécois, which wants independence for Quebec, has promised to support the Liberal government, but only if it boosts the state pension. Hurricane Helene left a trail of destruction across six American states, killing about 200 people. Hundreds of people are reported to be missing. North Carolina bore the brunt. The Category 4 storm made landfall in Florida's Big Bend region, packing sustained winds of 140 miles per hour. That's 225 kilometers per hour. J.D. Vance and Tim Walz, the two vice presidential candidates in America's election, held a televised debate. The candidates were amiable, focusing on domestic policy. Viewers were equally split on who came off the better. Jimmy Carter celebrated his 100th birthday. The former American president, who has been receiving hospice care for 19 months, has said he is determined to vote for Kamala Harris in November's election. Correction. Last week we said that the suicide pod used in Switzerland filled with liquid nitrogen, when we should have said nitrogen. Sorry.